Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Wednesday, December 29th, and it has been about 2 weeks since we last recorded. We got a little bit of a small cast here today, just me and Luke. Charlie and Alex are on vacation for the holidays. Merry Christmas, delayed Merry Christmas, and happy holidays to all the Made in March Nation out there. Sorry we could not get a podcast out for Christmas. It's been kind of a crazy past couple weeks here for both us and kind of the college basketball scene. We can kind of just dive right in to what's been going on. So there's been obviously a new variant of the coronavirus, which has kind of plagued everyone's lives for the past 2.5 years, something like that.
Omicron.
Sounds
like a transformer.
It does sound like a transformer. I agree. But there's been a huge outbreak for everybody, including college basketball teams, and it's just kind of been a nightmare. A majority of games, honestly, have been canceled that have been good recently in the past, I'd say 5 or 6 days, and then also looking ahead for the next couple days, there's just been a bunch of big games canceled, so it's kind of a tough scene. The Pac-12, obviously there was new CDC stuff that came out yesterday that reduced the quarantine time for positive tests from 10 to 5 days.
Yeah, and they recommend that they don't require quarantining for vaccinated persons that are asymptomatic.
Yep.
So yeah. That'll be nice as well. We saw the NFL change right away.
Yeah,
do I trust the NCAA to do the same thing? No, because they're an incompetent organization. But hey, they run college basketball, so
exactly,
kind of at their hands.
Yeah, their NCAA tends to be pretty power hungry, but it was good to see the NFL change fast. I'm hoping that other sports organizations, including the NCAA, obviously, will follow suit and kind of modify the rules to health standards, I guess, of what the nation is kind of putting out there. So there are hopefully less games canceled then and postponed in the future, so we can have a full slate of college basketball with a bunch of good games on most days of the week. So there's a little bit of an update there. Also, the Pac-12 is kind of just like, this is today after the new release of the CDC rules. I don't know actually how much power each conference can have, changing the rules.
They have basically their own power. So what you see conferences doing is if their team can't play, then they forfeit the game. And other conferences are, we're going to postpone the game. We'll figure out date to schedule it later in the season. But yeah, really, really unfortunate for those teams that have to forfeit games, especially starting in the ACC. COVID ran rampant, like, for all college basketball, as we know.
Yeah.
And then the ACC changed their guidelines after the first few, like, forfeited games.
Yeah.
And now they don't have to forfeit games if they can't play. They're just postponed. So, mm-hmm. Really, really tough break for the ACC teams that lost due to a forfeit.
Before they changed the rules. Which is unfortunate. Obviously, I don't think that'll really come back to bite many teams in the butt, but let's say like a small, weaker ACC team was playing like a powerhouse ACC team.
Or a bubble team.
Or a bubble team that could have their chance to get a big win kind of thing.
And how's the committee going to look at that when
they
start deciding
seed? Are they going to factor in and say, hey, well, this game isn't count. They weren't able to play this game, so it's just thrown out the window? Or is it going to be like, maybe we'll give them a little bit benefit of the doubt because we didn't get to see them in this game kind of thing? It's just kind of a nightmare. Yeah. UCLA had a huge outbreak, I know. They're kind of just getting back into practicing, yet not even able to play yet. So that's kind of crazy to see teams kind of fully shut down for a week, kind of like we saw last year for a little bit of time. There were some teams that were shut down for a week or so. So you hate to see this stuff kind of come back. But hopefully the NCAA changes kind of the rules league-wide, I guess, just to kind of benefit the teams more, I guess, a little bit more, and not postpone / cancel as many games, maybe kind of get in line with the CDC, kind of like the NFL has.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, the NCAA and the conferences, like, together, they gotta finally understand that COVID's not going to go away. You just have to learn to live with it and work around it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how soon that they'll realize that, because, like I said, pretty incompetent organizations. Dave Portnoy phrase right there, suit man tends not to be men of the people. So we'll see what they do.
Yeah.
But hopefully whatever they do means more college basketball, more frequent college basketball, and fairness to all teams participating in college basketball.
Yeah. And, obviously the NCAA kind of needs the money. So if they're postponing / canceling games, there's lost revenue, I guess, in that too, if games have to be canceled in the future. So yeah, it's kind of a two-way street for both the teams and also the NCAA as well. But other than that, we can kind of get into our breakdown of games here. So we last recorded on December 15th, so we'll start up on the 16th. And obviously we'll mention some of the canceled games that kind of occurred throughout the way along those 2 weeks since we last recorded. And we'll also mention some big games. Also, we do have to kind of say there weren't as many big games that were played than in like previous weeks, obviously, due to cancellations and around the holidays. Obviously, Big Ten is not in conference play, that kind of stuff. So the field of good / mediocre games is kind of limited. So obviously, just kind of take that into mind as we kind of roll through this as well. So Luke, you want to start it off on, so December 16th didn't really have much. So we can start right up on December 17th, Friday.
Yeah, well, to kind of start off, we can look at the Basketball Hall of Fame shootout presented by Hotels.com tournament or round robin or whatever they're doing there. But we see two what I believe to be fraudulent teams in Virginia Tech and St. Bonaventure. Mm-hmm. Although Virginia Tech, yeah, they kept it close against Duke, but yeah, they couldn't the whole time.
We'll get into that later.
I think Virginia Tech's fraudulent, but point is, the Bonnies are really fraudulent.
Exactly.
Since they lost to what I believe to be a fraudulent team, 86-49.
I mean, this...
in that one. Not even close.
This was literally the huge embarrassment for ESPN, honestly, more than the Bonnies, because ESPN, when they were playing, was it Marquette, I believe, when they were playing Marquette about 2.5-3 weeks ago, whoever was commentating that game said that the Bonnies were like an Elite Eight possible team. And I heard that, and I chuckled. I audibly chuckled at that. I was like, there is no way this team has defensive-oriented, and as soon as a team kind of starts hitting their shots against them, they're done. They have no offensive firepower. They had one guy in double figures this game.
And what I will say about Virginia Tech is they're a get-hot-to-stay-hot team, and, man, they were lighting up the Bonnies this game. Bonnies couldn't even cross 50 points, which is sad. And, I mean, that's why you guys come here to listen to podcasts from us, because we have that mid-major knowledge that ESPN mm-hmm. doesn't. We've been talking about Colorado State since the beginning of the year. Elite team. Struggling with COVID issues right now.
Yeah.
Elite team. Mm-hmm. We've talked about Boise State. We talked about LSU from the beginning because mm-hmm. they were kind of a sleeper team too.
Yeah, exactly.
Mid-major. ESPN doesn't really know what they're talking about.
Yeah, they saw the big number next to the Bonnies. Exactly. They were number 16 in the country. They're like, oh, these guys have to be good. So.
Somebody on ESPN is getting paid to make a cool pick for the mid-major while the other people are paid to take the other side. And that's why you see on like talk shows and stuff why a lot of arguments aren't constructed very well. It's because they're all scripted. They're forced to take certain positions. But here, you'll get that. You'll get more of a genuine take on things, more research on things. You'll come to understand what mid-majors are scary. And like we said, Colorado State being one of them. Bonnie's mm-hmm. not one of them.
Yeah, and the Hokies kind of showed up. So this was my preseason sleeper team. They showed up. Hunter Couture, 5 of 5 from 3. Storm Murphy, 4 of 7 from 3. Combined for a 9 of 12 from 3. That is incredibly impressive. The Hokies shot 46% from 3 on their way to 86 points. This is just a great team. They didn't even have to really lean on Kevin Aluma that much. He only took 11 shots, and he's kind of their star player. So I kind of like where this Hokies team is going. Obviously, they're going to be an 8 or 9 seed, maybe a 10. Pretty low down come March, I'd say. But I think they're a spooky team to watch out for. They have a great coach in Mike White, former coach of Wofford. Just a great overall defensive scheme of him. They're kind of a defensive-oriented team. And I also, like Luke said, a shoot to stay hot type team.
Yeah. Another team that could be dangerous, as we're seeing them improve, they have one pretty bad loss. But other than that, they've been smooth sailing, is the Creighton Blue Jays. They beat Nova by 20 night. Number 9 Nova by 20. Absolute domination.
Uh-huh.
When you look at Creighton's losses right now, they're what, like 9-3?
Yep, 9-3.
First loss to Colorado State, who we know
that's a great loss.
Really good team.
It's a great loss.
We talked about that. Yep, David Roddy being David Roddy flying under the radar as one of players of the year, mm-hmm. by the way. They lose to Iowa State by 6.
Another great team. That's
another really, really good team.
Not really flying under the radar anymore. They're I think they're something around in 10 or 12 range, maybe a 13 range. So they're properly rated, I'd say, now. But before mm-hmm. then, I mean, they were unraked. So it was still a great loss for Creighton. Not a great loss, but a fine loss for them.
Yeah, and then the third one is where the real problem comes. Arizona State.
Yeah,
that's 58-57 to them. But in that three-game span, hey, they're also playing tough competition. Mm-hmm. They were playing a lot. That's three games in a week for them.
Yep.
And two of the games, they came out on top, and that was at home against Nova and at home against BYU, both ranked teams at the time. So you know what? The Arizona State one can be kind of a fluke, as we've seen the way that they can play basketball. So huge win for the Blue Jays. As far as Villanova,
I don't know.
Just you just move on from that game? That's not necessarily a fluke game, but you just move on from that game. You look forward to the next one.
You can't really, though, because so the selection committee, voting committee, kept Villanova in the top 10 after three losses. Obviously, all the top 25 teams, so they really didn't know what to do with them. Villanova loses this game to an unranked Creighton Blue Jays team, and all of a sudden they're 7-4. And they're kind of sitting at the bottom of the Big East, which was completely unexpected. I know in the most recent AP rankings, Villanova was at 23. So they dropped a long ways. It's kind of surprising because I honestly thought, beginning of the year, this Villanova team, they suffered some tough losses. They also had a great win against Tennessee. So I really thought that they're going to be able to kind of string some wins together. But they just really can't close against good teams, and then suffering a bad loss like this to Creighton by 20 points, it's kind of like a detriment, I'd say, to them, and kind of morale, kind of crushes their morale a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the stats and the box score, this is not a typical Jay Wright led team in this game. I mean, getting out rebounded 41-29, out assisted 14-4.
Mm-hmm.
Under Wright, it's been all you gotta do your job, get rebounds, get assists. They play as a team. And this one, it looked like a bunch of individuals, and Creighton took advantage of that. Says a lot about Creighton's character, by the way, coming out after that Arizona State loss, and really blitzing Villanova like that, because I think that really does avenge their loss. Shows that it was a fluke. They come out the game after just red hot against what still is a really, really good Villanova team.
And Alex hates this Creighton team. I know he's voiced that frequently, but you kind of got to give some credit to Creighton. They're stringing some good wins together. I know they don't really have any stars. Kind of Alex O'Connell, transfer from Duke, is kind of their centerpiece, I'd say. But I don't even really think that. I think they're more of just kind of a team-oriented. No guy's really their go-to bucket getter, I'd say. Maybe probably Alex O'Connell if you had to pick a name. But Ryan Kalkbrenner also, too, I guess, the big man for them. He's also kind of a key piece, but this is kind of just a solid team all around. I don't really know what to think of them, but we'll kind of see how they fare when we get deep into Big East play, when it kind of gets late down in February, March area. So.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. The other game that night that's important to look at, San Diego State gets a big win on the road at St. Mary's. This Mountain West Conference is going to be good this year.
Yes,
San Diego State's now 8-3. Mm-hmm. Their losses are to USC, BYU, and Michigan, so not bad losses.
Yeah,
I mean, Michigan's exactly. Not great, but that's still a really well-coached
power
team.
Power 5, a disciplined team, and right? A power 5, top 5 preseason team, so yeah, it's not a bad loss.
Yeah, and then they go on to beat St. Mary's. They're 8-3. They play good basketball. They're a really physical team, mm-hmm. so it is tough to play with them. And in that Mountain West Conference, you got them. You got Boise State flying under the radar, and Colorado State just playing really, really good basketball. So, big win for San Diego State to get on the road in that one. So, but St. Mary's has kind of fallen off since that tournament where they played Wisconsin in the finals, haven't they?
Yeah, I think they're 3 or 4 loss team. Obviously, they're not gonna win the conference. Obviously, in the West Coast with Gonzaga in there, but it could sneak their way into a 10 or 11 seed, I'd say. They'll need wins against a couple, win or two, at least a win against BYU to have a chance to kind of make it, because that West Coast is a pretty weak conference. But I don't really know. I don't really like St. Mary's at all.
No.
I think they're pretty bad. So
I don't think
not much to worry about.
I don't think Tommy Cousy's that dude.
Nope. At the end of the day, he's been there forever, but he's not that dude.
We continue into the weekend. Saturday, December 18th, we have the Crossroads Classic going on. So that's where a bunch of the Indiana teams just kind of play each other.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, Purdue beats the absolute living shit out of Butler, 77-48. So that's kind of blowing past that game. We also see 25 Texas Tech going on the road to 5 Gonzaga, losing 69-55. But this was a very close game for most of it.
Yeah,
so Texas Tech is a really good team this year. I love Texas Tech. Big sleeper team come down to March.
Biggest note of this game. So Texas Tech, obviously, Gonzaga kind of pulled away with the last couple minutes. It is what it is. It would have still probably been a double-digit loss. Biggest note, Terrence Shannon was out with this game with back spasms. Terrence Shannon has kind of struggled with health, honestly.
They could have used him.
Oh, he's their best player. They could have definitely used him. Kevin O'Banner had 4-7 from the field, 9 points. But Terrence Shannon is the heart and soul of this team. And without them on the floor, without him on the floor, Texas Tech really stood no chance, especially trying to guard an athletic Chet Holmgren and a very sound Drew Timmy.
Well, they actually did that. They actually did that very well.
They did.
So Texas Tech, I think a lot of teams got to look at what their game plan did. Gonzaga's guards, credit to them. They stepped up. They started knocking down shots late. Early, it wasn't working.
Yeah.
So Texas Tech, being the defense team they were, the physical, gritty team they are, hanging around this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
They can beat anybody. I truly believe that. And their game plan, watching that game, their game plan was, we're going to double Drew Timmy. We're going to double Chet Holmgren. We're going to play them extremely physical. Yeah.
Two of them combined shot 8 shots,
yeah.
Holmgren and Timmy.
Exactly. So. They didn't even let him get the shots. Timmy had 7. Holmgren had 5. So kudos to Gonzaga's guards for knocking down shots at the end of the game, because I think if that game stays close and they don't knock down a few big threes with, like, what, 7-8 minutes left in the game, I think Texas Tech comes away with that win, even without Terrence Shannon.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how you have to guard Gonzaga. West Coast teams, probably not capable of doing that. That's the problem.
That's the issue. So Gonzaga's going to run through all the West Coast Conference. But Rasir Bolden, Andrew Nembhard combined 9 of 18 from 3. Huge, huge three-point performance from them, leading the team with 15 and 16 points for each for them. I like Gonzaga's guards this year. Obviously, this is a way different team. Not way worse, but a worse team than last year. But this team is still special.
I mean, you can't say enough about how good Rasir Bolden's been for them.
Just
that's
a phenomenal
that's a great find.
Great find.
By Mark Few.
Yep.
Coming from Iowa State, he was always somebody who could knock down shots. But Iowa State was kind of a toxic environment for the past few years. They're better this year. A lot of program reorganizing, but Rasir Bolden has clearly found a really good home in Gonzaga, and it has paid off mutually for both the team and Rasir himself.
Yep.
So that's a big one, too. Then kind of moving on later into the day, not too much going on because of cancellations, but we talked about the Crossroads Classic, where Indiana going and playing at Notre Dame. Notre Dame coming off a big win to Kentucky, by the way.
Yep.
Indiana gets it done. Trace Jackson Davis is just so good.
He is.
I mean,
he is an animal.
I'd say he had a bad game, and he put up 17 and 12.
Yep, exactly. So that's like, if that's an off game for him, the sky's the limit for him, some might say. So.
Yeah, this drops Notre Dame to 4-5, but don't count out Notre Dame.
Prentice Hubb
as a senior leader. He's starting to play better, took a lot of criticism. They have one of the best freshmen in the country on their team, though, in Blake Wesley. Blake Wesley has been fantastic for him, especially as of late. He's somebody who can go get his own bucket.
Yeah.
So that way they don't have to rely on just Prentice Hubb. They have the Ivy League Player of the Year from back in like 2019-2020 season, before like the Ivy League just punted on basketball for a year and a half and said we're not playing because COVID is too dangerous.
Full punt.
But they went and got the Ivy League Player of the Year because Ivy League doesn't allow grad students to play.
Yeah.
Went and got him. He's been really good for them. That's his name, Paul Atkinson Jr.
Yep.
They don't go super deep. But they have people that can knock down shots. Cormac Ryan, they have like Ivy League Player of the Year transfer in there. A really good freshman in Blake Wesley, who's a floor general, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Senior leadership in Prentice Hub. So they're a team I would not count out.
I agree.
Picked up a big win last night as well.
I agree. Yep.
But still, again, Indiana getting down to business, getting the win that they need to get.
Yep.
When it really came down to it. Then we also had Marquette Xavier that night.
Yeah.
Xavier at home. Jack Dungy has been so good for Xavier.
Jack Dungy was
huge transfer pickup.
I feel like there's been a lot of notable transfer pickups for a lot of teams.
From the Big Ten, by the way.
A lot of Big
Ten ones.
Yeah, Daryl Morcell obviously was a big pickup for Marquette. He kind of came back to life offensively, 14 points in this game, but he's been in a huge drought, I'd say, before that game. But Jack Nungy is the story of the Xavier Musketeers.
They got to start starting that guy. I mean,
he gets enough minutes.
Fremantle's not better than him. Jack always gets more minutes than him. You might as well start him.
Exactly.
Nungy had a double-double after the he was on track to get a double-double after the first half. He finishes with 13 and 12.
Exactly.
That's really good.
He's a double-double machine. I think he's honestly averaging a double-double. His points may not be in double-double range, but I know he's had games where he's had 19 rebounds or something like that.
It is definitely hard to win at Xavier, by the way.
Yep.
That environment is fun to watch. Whenever Xavier's at home, I like to pick them to win.
And following this game, Xavier moved up to 11-1. They were ranked 22 during this game, but obviously in the new rankings they've moved up a little bit, I think. I believe at least.
Yeah, so. they got a lot of guys that'll kill you too.
Yeah.
So they got Paul Scruggs, even though he had an off game, but they have Nate Johnson. Mm-hmm. He's always on pretty much. Yeah. Then you got guys, like I said, like Nungi Fremantle, mm-hmm. Dwan Odom off the bench as well.
Yeah.
And then Paul Scruggs. So a lot of guys that can step up, hit big shots.
They were I don't think Xavier was expecting Nungi to step up and play as well as he has played. I think they were expecting to be a good 8 points off the bench, maybe 8-5. I don't think they were expecting him to be a 15-12 or 15-10 guy like he's been, which is huge for Xavier. And I think they're near the top of the Big East, if not maybe first. I don't know, honestly. I haven't really checked Big East standings recently, but the Xavier Musketeers are a spooky team. I definitely think so.
Speaking of teams atop the Big East that are spooky, so I put this in my notes earlier. I don't know if they got to sharing it with you or not because I wasn't able to make the podcast, so not everything I can say is going to be on here. Obviously, you miss some takes. You make some takes.
Yeah.
But this is one I really made that they didn't share with you. I said I thought Providence should have been ranked a month ago. They were winning, they were looking good. They pick up a big win on the road at 20 yeah, UConn.
A huge win. A good UConn team as well.
And they just have guys that get it done. Al Durham didn't do much the whole game, but when mm-hmm. they needed the big shot, Al Durham stepped up and got it. And then they have A.J. Reeves, so their guard play is phenomenal. Nate Watson down low.
Nate Watson's really kind of the physical presence. Centerpiece of the team.
Yeah, they have with those three guys, with Durham, Reeves, and Watson,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a nice trio right there. That can get you places, and they just keep winning. So shout out to Providence. I saw they were up tonight. Don't know exactly where it's at right now, but we'll get to that, right?
Yep.
Huge win for the Friars.
They've had some good road wins. They beat Wisconsin, to be fair, without Johnny Davis. They beat Wisconsin early in the season within the first couple weeks of basketball on the road at the Kohl Center. So
yeah,
they've been able to get it done on the road, and that's a sign of a good team, I'm going to say. The Friars are also a team to look out for in the Big East. Normally a team that's kind of iffy, maybe near the bottom, bottom of the Big East. But this year, I think they've come to play. I think they're for real. I don't think this is kind of a fluke. They're never going to blow a team out of the water. I do have to say that. Mm-hmm. They're never going to blow a team out of the water. It's always going to be a close game. They don't really have the firepower to just absolutely light the gym on fire and score 85 points or 90 points.
But, man, this team is fun to watch. They play together.
They're gritty.
They're a defensive hounding team, a ball-hounding team. They're just a team that you love to watch.
Mm-hmm.
A team that was really tough to watch that night, though, was UNC just getting absolutely obliterated by Kentucky.
That was a bad game. That was, yeah.
Kentucky, Big Blue Nation, stand up. You guys are back.
29-point victory.
98-69. It was never close.
And I think North Carolina was like 3-point dogs or something like that.
Yeah.
2.5. Three. Yeah. It was, just terrible.
Kentucky ran out of the gym.
Yeah. Dawson Garcia, 2-6 from the field. Caleb Love, 2-8 from the field. Just, 7.7% from three for North Carolina.
Yeah. Davion Mintz didn't even have a good day either off the bench and needed to. A few of the guys off the bench for Kentucky, but yeah, Oscar Shibwe, Wheeler getting it going with 26.
Xavier Wheeler,
Keon Brooks with double digits himself. I mean,
exactly
four starters in double digits is tough in college basketball,
and tough to lose with that. So
and for them to do it against a good UNC team, although they did not show up whatsoever that night.
Yeah, they still have
very impressive
Armando Bacot, Dawson Garcia, RJ Davis, Caleb Love, and Leaky Black. That's still a great starting lineup in college basketball. Regardless if they're ranked or not. So congrats to Kentucky. I kind of thought they were moving towards fraud status, kind of drifting away, but bring it back here with a huge, huge, huge win against North Carolina Tar Heels at home. So
yeah, getting back to kind of mid-major conferences, transitioning from Blue Bloods, talk about Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas 8-point win over SFA at home. SFA was huge underdogs this game.
23.5.
I took them to cover.
Wow. They covered handily.
So easy money for me.
That was easy money. They covered handily in this one.
Yeah, and it was a good game, too. It was tight. With
mm-hmm.
with 3:45 left, SFA was down 3 points.
Yeah.
This was a really, really good game. SFA had the lead in the second half. Like, can't make this up.
Mm-hmm.
Really good team. And that conference that they're in, the WAC, going to be super fun to watch
now,
this year.
Did they leave? Are they officially out of the Southland?
They are out of the Southland, yes. It's the WAC officially. Now. They have Abilene Christian,
yeah,
good team. That's who made the tournament for the Southland last year.
Honestly, the best two Southland teams over the past 5 years are gone.
Yep, they're gone. They lost.
Abilene Christian and SFA.
Yeah, and then you have Grand Canyon at 10-2 right now.
Yep, Grand Canyon.
They were in the tournament last year.
They were, and they were a good
team. They covered against Iowa, by the way.
Great teams cover.
New Mexico State, currently 11-2. Another good team that you have there.
Yep.
And Utah Valley, they got the big win over BYU. They're sitting at 9-3 right now also. So you got a pretty competitive conference.
Yeah, the WAC front went from pretty decent with GCU being a good team to now bringing in the legacies of SFA and also the
Abilene Christian
who upset Texas last year in a huge upset.
Yeah, big upset.
Honestly, the Southland is honestly a top three joke conference with those two teams gone. Oh, yeah. Texas A&M, Corpus
Christi. Also, Sam Houston is also out of there. Sam Houston.
Oh gosh, they were like a top five team in the Southland as well.
Yeah, and they're gone.
So Texas A&M,
Lamar is gone. But Lamar stinks.
Well, Lamar stunk. So Texas A&M cream corn is now the cream of the crop of the Southland, and that's all you need to know about Southland basketball.
But man, that's gonna be a fun conference to watch. They're probably gonna get one bid this year, but don't be shocked if in the next few years you start to see some two bid. Into three bid WAC conference, depending on how they build upon those victories, because they're going to have opportunities every year to get early wins against Pac-12 teams.
I agree.
Things like that. So,
yep.
Kudos to SFA for competing with Kansas, a really good team. Hofstra, they've competed in a lot of games this year. Really good team out of the Colonial.
Yep.
Lost a ton of heartbreaks. I think they started maybe like 1-4 against good
teams. Yeah, they're a 7-5 team.
But now they're 7-5. They get a road win at number 24, Arkansas. Hofstra is no joke this year. They are better than the record of 7-5. They went overtime on the road at Houston.
Yeah,
Houston has been blowing a really good team down.
Exactly, they have. Honestly, this game, you know, it can tell you a lot about Hofstra. Maybe that Hofstra is a better than a 7-5 team. But to me, this tells me that the Arkansas Razorbacks are not a tournament team, yet alone a ranked team. The Razorbacks are atrocious. They are terrible. They have not played anybody all year. Their best competition up until this Hofstra game was Oklahoma, which they lost to by 22 the game before. And then before that, it was Cincinnati, who they beat by 6. So Arkansas was on a roll at, like, I think it was 9-0, but they suck. This is a terrible loss. They've lost 3 of their last 4. We'll get into it. And they lost Mississippi State as well, who's tonight. Honestly a joke of a basketball conference.
No, they're not. They're 10-3 right now. They're 10-3.
They're a 10-3.
Mississippi State was favored tonight, by the way.
But this all I know is that this Arkansas team, thank God they're not ranked anymore because they never deserved to be. They were up at like 12 or something because they were 9-0, just playing bad teams.
They got to get it together. I mean,
I don't think they're going to. They
lost some pieces. I picked Colgate against them last year.
Yeah,
I know they went kind of far, but Colgate choked that game away so hard.
Yeah.
That was my big pick last year. They choked it away hard. Kudos to Arkansas for stepping up and playing big in that game. But really, that was a preview of Arkansas this year. Just kind of a letdown a little bit.
Yeah, I think this Hofstra win tells me more about Arkansas than it does about Hofstra, and it's that Arkansas is terrible.
Yeah, because we knew before the game that Hofstra was competing with teams. We knew maybe they'd have a chance. Nobody thought they could pull it out, but man, Arkansas really let down. So I agree, it does say more about Arkansas.
I would love to see Arkansas make the tournament just so I can pick against them, because there is not a world where I would pick any team to beat Arkansas. I don't care what the matchup is. I'm not. If you see me picking Arkansas, feel free to slap me across the face, because that will not be happening. That will not be happening.
Huge win for Auburn that night, though, at SLU.
Yep.
SLU is really tough to beat when SLU is at home. Yeah, I think they beat some other teams at home. I think it was Boston College they beat at home, and they beat Boise State, and they beat SFA. So they beat quality teams. Good win for Auburn. They eked it out by 4, but hey, a road win against a team like SLU, that's something that you got to be happy coming out with. So 4-point win, good win for Auburn. Walker Kessler, 19-9. He's been playing really well for them, including tonight.
He is. I agree. We do have to clarify, though. I believe we said that the Auburn Tigers were not in this year's March Madness. They are. It was last year, so the NCAA took... So Auburn had a self-ban on the tournament last year.
And NCAA stinks.
They stink. So they took that self-ban as the punishment of the Bruce Pearl / Auburn scandal. They said, that's good enough. The self-imposed punishment. So they took that, and then that's all you get. That's all the tournament ban you get. So
yeah, I am
no
glad,
ban this year.
I am glad that the NCAA did realize that Bruce Pearl was basically it was kind of on him. So
yeah,
it's and so they don't put that punishment on the players in the school. So that was also good. Iowa blows out Utah. Iowa needed a win against a quality opponent, and they finally got it when they played neutral environment up in South Dakota. Blew out Utah State, 94-75. Everybody was shooting. Keegan Murray career high, 35 points.
Keegan Murray's that dude.
Huge.
He's a lottery pick.
He's that dude. But yeah, the other guy that's been contributing for Iowa a lot, Patrick McCaffrey. He's taken a really big step up this year. He had 12 points that game, six boards. And Chris Murray, Keegan's twin brother off the bench with 17 himself.
Yep.
But yeah, huge win. Even though Iowa only shot 30% from three, it just was never really close. I mean, once Iowa pulled away, it was over.
Yeah.
Iowa puts up a lot of points at the end of the day.
They do. They're a firepower team. They kind of always have been.
Yeah, it's going to be a race to basically 80 when you play Iowa, whoever gets there first.
Terrible defense, great offense. This is kind of how Iowa's rolled the past couple of years.
Yep. In the Fran McCaffrey era, basically, too. But number one, Baylor at Oregon. Oregon actually came to life as a basketball team, something we haven't seen this year.
This was actually a good game. I enjoyed this game.
Only issue is they were playing Baylor, who's just so disciplined, so good. Even Baylor's
it was unfortunate.
In competitive games, you'll see a lot of these really top teams get nervous, not know what to do. Baylor just sticks their game plan. Mm-hmm. They're so disciplined. Scott Drew, coach of the year, like every year except for last year with Juwan Howard, I would say.
Yep.
But he's got the guys so disciplined, and they even covered a -7 spread. So thank you, Baylor. You won't winning me some cash from that one. But yeah, Oregon played well, just couldn't pull it out in the end. But great game to watch, phenomenal game to watch.
Adam Flagler, 5-7 from three. They're gonna need that.
Flagler is huge for them.
James Kinjo as well, with 17 points and a 6 assists. He's their playmaker, their facilitator. Pick transfer from Arizona, I believe, and they're just kind of a well rounded team. Yeah. Back where we started last year with Baylor being the best team in the country. Scott Drew is honestly probably my coach of the year vote as well. Again,
he's really good.
But Oregon coming back to life, they dropped to 6-6, which is just crazy thinking that they were a top 15 team coming in preseason. But at least they came to life and showed some grit and had three guys in double figures. But unfortunate that they had to run into a number one ranked Baylor team when they actually got going.
I feel like Oregon always does this shit.
They do always do it. Like, except they didn't do it last year.
No, early in the year, they did still flop quite a bit. I mean, they were okay. Ranked, they did not exceed expectations by any means.
No,
until
they did not.
And then they get a 7 seed in the tournament and just run out Iowa out of the gym, which is tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
But so we'll see where this Oregon team ends up. I mean, they were finally knocking down shots.
We'll see. Yeah.
So good for them for knocking down shots.
Yep.
They knocked down like every shot they really needed to. And Baylor still won and covered. So it says a lot about Baylor. So we'll see where Oregon goes from here, but we know Baylor is the top team in the nation.
They're the team to beat, 100%.
100%. Then we get into Sunday, number 17. Texas goes on the road, beats Stanford 60-53.
I think that's pretty much it from Sunday. Yeah. Sunday really didn't have many relevant games other than that. So I don't know if there were any cancellations though.
Big amount of cancellations.
If any were relevant, but I don't know. It seems like none were relevant, but
no.
COVID obviously. This is when it kind of started to hit.
Yeah.
Coming into the end of this weekend and moving into the early week before Christmas, that's kind of when it started. The hammer started coming down a little bit.
And then you move into Monday the next day. That's when you see some games. St. John's, Seton Hall gets canceled. Creighton, DePaul gets canceled.
Yeah.
Big East team starting to see some issues.
Yep. So unfortunate cancellations there.
Out of the picture.
Yeah. So. And DePaul, as I don't think they're good at all. I think they're pretty bad. I think they're like a one or two loss team, which is just crazy to see. Yeah.
Well, Brandon Johnson from Minnesota who transferred there.
He's
been the reason they've won games.
All the Minnesota transfers are good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love it. As a Badger fan.
They had a tough loss to Butler tonight, but that's a really bad loss. But Brandon Johnson just still dropped it.
It is what it is. They're still DePaul. DePaul's doesn't really have that much.
I'm glad that they're better than they used to be. They used to be the meme team
of the Big East, but glad to see that they're kind of stepping it up and finding their way off the bottom of the Big East.
Yeah, but then getting into Tuesday, a lot of bad upsets. Ole Miss losing at home to Samford. Like, are we serious? Ole Miss stinks. Was an 8-3 team going into that game.
I mean, they still stink, but you can't take that loss.
Because if you look at the other side of it, they're 9-3 going to SEC play. You take that every day of the week.
I agree.
And then to have that loss is just a tough one. And then talk about another bad loss for the SEC.
Bama, number 10
at home, drops it to Davidson. Davidson can shoot the rock. Don't get me wrong. Davidson's a good team, 9-2. Yeah, but Bama should not have lost this game.
No, Bama should not have lost this game. Obviously, Davidson, no matter who's on their team, they're always going to be a three-point shooting team. They go 12-24 from three, 50% from three, and 53% from the field is a pretty good stat line. I mean, it'll happen, I guess, to Alabama. Just unfortunate because I really do like this Alabama team. Javon Quinterly is a bucket. And Jaden Shackelford is also a bucket. So
Davison has not played like a freshman either. He's looked way better than a freshman this year.
Yes, yes, I agree. And so their guard play, Bama's guard play is incredible. I just don't know. Obviously, they're going to run and gun. They're going to try and score 90 on you. Make a lot of threes, a lot of transition buckets.
That's the exact game Davidson likes to play in.
So yeah, I guess if the other team's knocking down threes and maybe they're off. Because they really play the same type of game, both teams. So Davidson just shot the ball better, honestly. I wouldn't be too worried if I'm an Alabama fan, honestly.
No.
If I'm being honest. I think I still love this Alabama team.
Still a close enough game, you know. Not too bad. But, again, those two SEC upsets were not good going into conference play for Ole Miss and Alabama.
I agree.
Not good at all. Villanova rebounds 71-58 over Xavier. That's
a good win.
Ranked matchup right there.
A good win for Nova. They needed that, honestly, worse than anybody else. They needed that win so bad. They would have dropped to 7-5, and that would have been a rough start.
They also got Nungy in foul trouble in that game.
Early,
he played 23 minutes, but still he was in foul trouble. So he wasn't feeling it. And again, Xavier was on the road this game, so it'll be interesting to see what happens when Xavier comes back home, because they're like a whole different team when they're back home.
Fun
to watch. Yeah, exactly.
It's like the rack effect.
Yeah, it's the rack effect, essentially, is what we have seen. Mississippi State, good team, like I said. Nice 21-point win over Winthrop, who looked like they were going to be good earlier this year. They've kind of flopped, but Mississippi State, they're going to be a dark horse team in the SEC this year.
I'm going to wait and see on that. I will not be voicing my opinion on that until I see more from Mississippi State.
All right.
But we'll see.
All right, fair enough. Get the UConn versus Marquette game. UConn goes on the road, beats Marquette 78-70. Marquette is just just so young. They're going to get better, but not a tourney team this year, in my opinion.
I don't think so. 8-5, 0-2 in Big East play. This UConn team is also good, too. So, I mean, got to give credit to Marquette. To be fair, they were at home. Marquette was at home. So a great win. Honestly, a better win for UConn than it is a loss for Marquette. So Tyrese Martin stepping it up with 25 points. The tall guard for UConn, and also RJ Cole with 20 points as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, UConn's a guard-led team. Akuka-Cook was kind of dominant on the boards. 6 points, 6 boards in this one. So I think UConn's an incredibly deep team. Adamo Sanogo, don't forget, he has been, was it injured? I think he was injured for a couple weeks, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
He's their main big man. He's kind of just getting back into the swing of things again in this Marquette game, 12 minutes only. So once they get him back to full health and get rolling again, I think this UConn team is gonna string some wins together.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, they're a team to watch out for in the Big East for sure. And like you said, they have him. They have a cook who's still there somehow.
Yeah,
after getting injured like 8 times, the stick legs.
And, yeah, I know.
But RJ Cole really is the leader of that team, so it'll be fun to see how he leads that team this year when it comes down to brass tacks. Then getting into Wednesday, December 22nd, huge win for Kentucky by 35 at home over Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky's a good team. They knocked off. They beat Louisville pretty easily.
This Western Kentucky team, they were good last year. They had Charles Bassey last year.
They have a 7-5 guy this year too. I'm not kidding. Yeah, 7-5.
Jeez.
So Kentucky getting a win like that after Western Kentucky just controlled the entire game against Louisville, beat them by 10 points, and then they turn around and Kentucky does this to him. Kentucky's for real this year.
Yeah, they're
hitting their stride.
It was a great transfer pickup with Oscar Shewe. I feel like Kentucky hasn't had a good, solid big man like him in years.
Yeah, that was a huge transfer pickup.
Huge pickup. I feel like they always get, at least they have decent guards. Sometimes they have star guards. But having a good big man like Oscar Tshiebwe was huge for Kentucky. And yeah. I think a tide turner, some might say.
They held Jamarion Sharp, so that's the 7'5 guy mm-hmm. on Western Kentucky to 8 points, which is nice, and only 6 boards. So
that's only so much tough, you can do. So
yeah, and Western Kentucky is a team that shoots a lot of threes.
Yeah.
It's basically we're going to shoot a three, hope our tall guy gets the rebound, kicks it back out.
Yeah.
Repeat, so on and so forth.
I don't think Western Kentucky is anything. They're a 5-loss team.
I don't know. They're going to be good in their conference
USA.
Though. Yeah, they're going to be good in their
Watch
conference.
Watch out for Marshall in Conference USA.
No, don't. They stink.
I don't know if they stink.
They're
not
good.
I think I'd pick Marshall over Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky is going to win that conference. I'll say it right now. I'll say it boldly. Western Kentucky will win the Conference USA. There's like 16.
Hammer down on that one. That's a bold.
Hammer Western Kentucky to win it. I bet they're probably, if they're getting plus money, it's not very much plus money.
Nope.
But still, Kentucky to win by 35 in that one, that's big. and then we have Tennessee. Winning at home against number 6, Arizona. Arizona played tough. Tennessee, loved Tennessee in this game. Tennessee won me some money. At the same time, though, I don't think Arizona's frauds or anything.
And not at all. This is their first loss of the year. honestly, just a great win for Tennessee.
Yeah, nobody showed up except for Benedict for Arizona. So it's like...
Well, he's their guy. He had 28, 8-5, which is a huge stat line. John Fulkerson led the Volunteers with 24 points. Great win for Tennessee, honestly. Santiago Vescovi, although he took 16 shots, still had 15 points.
At the end of the day, what did it for Arizona was how many fouls. They committed almost twice as many fouls as Tennessee. So.
28-16
and
on
then,
that.
And then when you just go to the line repeatedly for every single foul, which is what Tennessee was doing, especially towards the end of the game, three, two shots every time, then that makes a difference in a four-point game.
Tennessee shot worse from the field, from three, and they shot the same from the free throw line, but Tennessee was able to win this game.
Yep.
That just shows that the volume that Tennessee, amount of free throw shots they had kind of help them overcome the deficit of having a struggling day from the field.
Virginia's hard to watch, dude. They're so bad.
They stink.
They lose at home to Clemson 67-50.
Are they even?
Reese Beekman was the only person that was breathing oxygen on the court for them. and it's just like, if I was a Virginia student, I'd be pissed. I go to the games, I'm trying to get hyped. Maybe get a little pregame buzz going. I can't get hyped with the way, with the way they play. Two, like, just in general, you can't get hyped for them.
They're just terrible. I just hate Virginia basketball. You know, Tony Bennett, he's from Wisconsin. Congrats. Time has come.
Congratulations.
He stinks. His system, he needs, I liked what Charlie said earlier in the year, he needs NBA talent to succeed.
Yeah.
Clearly, that championship team was obviously had nothing to do with coaching and all to do with talent.
Damn near a Mickey Mouse championship because Purdue should have beaten them. Are you kidding
me? They should
Purdue have, can't rebound the easiest rebound ever, Latravion.
Yeah, well.
That was bad.
You can say Mickey Mouse, but Mickey Mouse. I don't know.
They were down 15 to freaking Gardner-Webb to start that 116 game.
Yeah, that's true. Right, I don't know just after losing, just the year after losing to, I think it was to UMBC.
UMBC, that was the year after.
So this is just proving that Tony Bennett's just not that good of a coach. And I don't think Virginia's obviously not making the tournament.
Virginia can make the tournament. And the key to them is Armon Franklin, transfer from Indiana.
They stink. They're not making the tournament.
If Armon Franklin plays well, they'll make the tournament.
Indiana transfer?
Yes. He's been all right for them some games, but man, he was off that game.
I don't even know if Virginia's going to make the NIT at this point.
No, they'll make the NIT.
They stink. They're terrible. I
hear
them.
Name basis being over 500. If they are, then they definitely.
It's disgusting stuff.
Sneak
if you
in
ask
there
me.
For sure. It is disgusting stuff. It makes me want to vomit.
It literally makes me want to vomit just looking at how bad their team is.
But then you have Duke getting a win at home. Against Virginia Tech. Duke battled back in this game. Virginia Tech started.
Led at halftime.
Yeah, led at halftime. And then they went on a huge scoring drought in the second half.
Yeah, they did.
Lasting like 5 to 6 minutes where they did not score a single point. And you can't do that against top two team.
You cannot. Especially on the road against Duke.
Nope.
But like it's kind of weird. So like I feel like early in this year, Charlie's kind of hopped on the Virginia Tech train as well. So we have both said that, you know, it's fine if they lose this game, but we'd like to see them keep it close. Virginia Tech did keep it close. They were competent throughout the whole game. They've had some tough matchups early in the season, I'd say. They're an 8-5 team. Obviously, starting 0-2 in ACC play is not a good look, but I wouldn't take your eyes off this Virginia Tech team. Kevin Aluma had a double-double with 25 and 10. he is a bucket. And the fact that they did not kind of catch on to what Virginia Tech was trying to do, just feed him down low, and Duke just kind of willingly let it happen. Coach K finally made some adjustments, and they kind of started shutting him down towards the end of the second half. But
yep.
I don't think this Virginia Tech team is any not don't hop off yet. Is what
don't
I'm hop say. Off.
I don't think they're anything special. I mean, we'll see. Big three games for them to start January. They're at home against Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
Pitt's 5-8, but at the same time, Pitt plays extremely physical basketball, so a chance for an upset there. Then they have NC State, who's 7-5, and Virginia, 7-5. So just playing some of those like mid to bottom tier teams in the ACC is gonna say a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they take 2 out of 3 of those, I'd be happy with that. Just in conference play, take 2 out of 3. If they go 3-0,
yep.
Then I might lean more towards they're not frauds, but I don't think they win more than 2 of those games. I think the best they do is 2 out of 3. But
mm-hmm. I know. So there's another game today, the San Francisco Dons. San Francisco has not had a really relevant basketball team in a long time. They win this game 64-52, but I want to shout them out because they are a 13-1 team.
Yeah. They had a good win earlier this year, too.
I don't know. I think they could give obviously BYU and St. Mary's clearly a run for their money and will honestly probably beat them. I think they could give Gonzaga in one of their two matchups, I think they could give them a run for their money.
Yeah, they could. They did last year.
They won. Or no, they it was came down to the wire. Came down to the wire. Obviously, Gonzaga was undefeated last year. Why would I even say that?
I mean, yeah, you look at the teams that San Francisco beaten. They beat Nevada. They beat Davidson. They're beating these teams that they got to beat.
Like, solid. They're beating who they're playing. Like, I don't know. I mean, they're solid wins.
They beat Arizona State on the road, which is it's going to a Power 5 team on the road that's still tough.
Yeah,
tough win, even though Arizona State's not that good. Their one loss is by... Oh, they beat Fresno State at home, by the way. Another good Mountain West team that we can talk about. But their one loss is by 1 point to Grand Canyon on the road. And Grand Canyon, we talked
that's
about,
a
that's a solid
loss.
Team.
I think that's a fine loss for them. So I think watch out for this. All I want to do is mention this game to say watch out for... This
it's gonna be
San Francisco team.
It's gonna be tough sliding their first three games
mm-hmm.
in conference play at St. Mary's, at Gonzaga, then they're back home against San Diego. So we'll see how they fare with that because that's on the road on like the two best teams in the conference. That's just really really tough.
Yep.
But yeah,
that kind of
to be noted that they're 13-1 for sure.
Just needed to be said. Just keep an eye on them.
Keep your eye out. Then we get into kind of Thursday's games. BYU versus Vanderbilt.
That's probably the only
Vanderbilt
one of the day.
Vanderbilt, huge win at home. Or not at home. They're in that was the Hawaii tournament. Like mm-hmm. half of that got canceled, by the way.
It did.
Half of that got canceled.
But BYU, bad loss. Vanderbilt stinks.
Vanderbilt's 8-4, and I don't
Scottie Pippen Jr.
I don't call them Vanderbilt. It's Scottie Pippen Jr. University because he is the only guy.
He's the only guy that needs anything.
In either the football or the basketball program.
That has any recognition.
That is worth a shit, by the way.
Any recognition that
produces anything at all on the court or on the field. He is the only guy.
There were some games canceled today too on that day as well.
Yeah,
St. John's, Butler, DePaul, Seton Hall got postponed too, so... Kind of just another COVID. This is kind of when COVID obviously was picking up too. So half the games most days are canceled or postponed, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really it from that day, honestly. And then there were no games on Christmas Eve. There were honestly here. Just let me just throw a quick shout out.
Yeah.
There were supposed to be. I don't know if there were supposed to be, but there were no sports on Christmas Eve. No NFL, no NBA, no NCAA football or basketball. And no NHL.
Yeah,
full all the sports that are on right now.
Brutal for sports degens, by the way.
Yep, exactly. There were no sports betting. So only time to spend with your family on Christmas Eve.
BYU did bounce back on Christmas after that bad loss to Vandy, beating Liberty.
Yep.
which is kind of nice after
solid win. But Liberty's an 8-6 team.
Yeah, it's something that they needed. It was a morale booster in the clubhouse.
That's
in
fair.
The locker room,
it is what it is.
You want to call it. Not really any noteworthy games on Sunday or Monday. And then that brings us to Tuesday, which was yesterday.
Yep.
And we have Gonzaga rolling. We got Baylor rolling. We got Texas Tech rolling. Notre Dame beats Pitt by 1 on the road. Notre Dame now 7-5 after being 4-5. That's a nice little 3-game win streak that they pieced together.
Mm-hmm.
Now their schedule coming up, their Duke game is postponed. So they'll get North Carolina at home. I think that they can win that one. They have Georgia Tech on the road. I think that they can win that one.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson at home. I think they can win that one. And I am excited. Mid-January, Notre Dame at Virginia Tech for the middle of the conference.
Love to see it.
Love to see it.
You want to see what that's going to end up like?
Yeah, huge comeback. Notre Dame is what they are. They are a really disciplined team. They aren't super talented.
Yeah.
But they have discipline. They play as a team, so that's why they can beat anybody on any given night, and that's why they can also get beat by anybody on any given night.
Like, it's Pitt, kind of a like crapshoot.
Pitt was competing with them, but and Pitt was up. They looked like they were going to take over the second half, but
yeah.
Notre Dame as a team comes back. Prentice Hobbs knocked down huge shots and knocked down the game winner in the second half, so big win for Notre Dame. They needed that to stay relevant.
Some bad games also canceled that day as well. UConn Xavier was the one that I'm kind of looking at here. Obviously, Cincinnati, Houston, whatever.
All those
could be still a possibly good game, but
still tough. Colorado State hasn't played in forever, which sucks. Because
I know I love watching them play basketball. Great team to watch.
Boise State picking up another win over Fresno State. They're now both 10-4 teams. Boise State has got a lot of firepower.
They do.
They're really athletic. They just have to learn how to play as a team a little bit more. But they have won, I think, like 7-8 games in a row, maybe. And their most recent loss being back at the end of November to SLU in overtime.
Yeah.
That's not a bad loss. They also beat Ole Miss on the road. Ole Miss stinks. They lost to Bonnies. But you know what? This Boise State team is red hot right now. So ride the Broncos. Ride the Blue Court Broncos because they could be a dangerous team in the Mountain West Conference.
In a deep Mountain West Conference, that is.
Deep Mountain West Conference, exactly. They were, I think, 4-point favorites against Fresno State, and they covered.
So. And now, yeah, I guess we can move into then Wednesday today. And I am looking at the current live score. So we haven't been watching this game, obviously.
Memphis is such frauds. I said it from the beginning.
While we've been recording.
I've been saying it from the beginning.
Memphis stinks. Memphis does stink. That's, I'm looking at that game, which is Tulane is currently winning with 33 seconds left, 85-84.
You heard that. 3-6 Tulane.
A 3-6 Tulane.
6 Tulane.
What I'm looking at as a UW-Madison attendee is I'm looking at the 24-ranked Badgers currently beating Illinois State 85-80 right now. That's what I'm looking at. And I'm seeing 46 seconds left on the clock, and I'm hoping for a prayer for the Badgers because what the hell is going on? That's all I have to say. What is going on?
So, yeah, Alex on the podcast, Alex from the podcast said, text me today, I like Memphis -6 today. Currently they are down 1. So he better hope that goes into overtime for his money's sake.
Yep.
And it's Tulane's basketball, by the way, with 33 seconds left. They just called timeout, so...
Not a good look for both Wisconsin and Memphis right now. I think Wisconsin was 16.5 point favorites.
Not a good look by any means. But yeah, Wake Forest is about to suffer a tough loss in the hands of Louisville.
Wake Forest is somehow 11-1. What is going on?
Mickey Mouse
they play?
Edge. They
exactly. That's I better be because
they
I have
needed
not
this
even
win against
looked
Louisville.
Into
they would have had a hint of relevancy if they beat Louisville tonight, but they didn't. So.
I don't think Louisville's good either. I think both these teams stink, so
yeah.
It's kind of irrelevant
yeah,
as far
Forest.
As I'm concerned. The game of the night, though,
yeah.
is Tennessee Alabama. And that's currently at halftime right now, all knotted up, 33-all. Both great teams. I don't know how Alabama dropped to 19, if I'm being honest. I know it was a really bad loss against – who was it? Who we just recapped it, and who did they
– Davidson.
Davidson, that's it. That's a bad loss. I think – I guess maybe they were at 9, so they dropped 10 spots to 19. Or they were 10, so they dropped 9 spots to 19. I guess that's fair, yeah, I guess. I was kind of overthinking it and thinking that it maybe shouldn't have been as much. But they're a three-loss team.
Alabama currently 25% from three in this game. They got to pick it up if they want to win the second half.
I agree. So, yep.
So, man, that is tough. And Tennessee has turned them over double the amount that Alabama has turned Tennessee over. So Tennessee's going to be tough to beat if those shots don't start falling, even though they're tied at halftime.
And two ranked matchups that ended recently. Auburn beating LSU pretty handily, 70-55, and Providence taking care of Seton Hall. Luke's Providence Friars.
I love the Friars, man.
Cooley, roll Cooley, 70-65.
They got five guys in double figures tonight. Providence did against a decent Seton Hall team. Like,
and I didn't
that?
Honestly like when I look at this Providence team, I see Nate Watson, I see Al Durham, and I see AJ Reeves, and that's about it. So for them to have five guys in double figures against a ranked Seton Hall team.
Jared Bynum.
Love to see it.
Jared Bynum.
Love to see it.
Jared Bynum off the bench, giving him 14 points right there. That's nice, too. But, yeah, then their big three, obviously, all in double figures as well. But, yeah, love to see it. Providence.
Watch out.
They're a good team.
Watch out. I actually think they are for real this year. I'm going to get behind you on that and say that they're actually a good team.
Kentucky just continues to just blow the living shit out of teams. Even though Mizzou is like a 500
they
team
stink.
In the SEC,
Mizzou
they
is under 500.
They stink.
But they're bad.
Kentucky just... continues dominance.
They're doing what
they're
supposed
to. Like, there's like no let up. There's no let up right now with them.
They need competition. They're playing terrible teams, I think. Other than North Carolina.
Yeah.
Other than North Carolina. But yeah.
I mean, they're just, they got their foot on the gas pedal right now. That's big.
Yeah, and then some games postponed today. Duke Clemson postponed, Temple Villanova. Yeah, a lot of postponements today. So
yeah, my Iowa Hawkeyes picked up a nice low win tonight, 92-71. Typical Iowa scoreline. Please bet the over if you ever bet Iowa games. But Keegan Murray with another double double, 29-10.
Yeah, he is just electric.
They played Buns asked Western Illinois.
Yeah, Western Illinois is Buns. I don't even know who they are, but they're Buns. Virginia Tech, North Carolina was postponed today. That's unfortunate. That would have been a great win for the Hokies on the road. Yeah. Is what it is. Yeah. Marquette St. John's also postponed today.
Yeah.
So that's kind of just the theme of right now is postponed games until maybe the NCAA makes some changes or
some damn changes.
Because I don't think I don't think COVID's gonna go away. So it's kind of just gonna be if half the games are gonna get postponed / canceled, could be a little bit of a detriment to the NCAA. So we're really not gonna look forward for games ahead, just because we don't really know what's going on. There's a lot of postponed games, so we're kind of like the schedule's already kind of thin. So there's going to be minimal good games. Obviously, like on like normal Saturday slate, you're going to have probably 20 good games that you can be able to tune into throughout the whole day, obviously.
I think next week we'll get back to normal a little bit. But
Hopefully, NCAA kind of adheres to this new CDC guidelines and kind of changes it up. But anything else you got to add, Luke, before we kind of wrap it up and finish this one?
I mean, not really. My Toreros were poised for a big upset at home against Gonzaga tomorrow.
Oh, God, the San Diego Toreros. Sure. Are you kidding me?
But, yeah, 9 Arizona at 5 UCLA being postponed tomorrow. That is just one that...
Terrible. That's one I was totally looking forward to. I'm glad you mentioned
that's
that.
That's a freaking dagger.
I was looking forward to that one because UCLA's had some COVID issues, obviously, kind of mentioned that earlier. I was hoping they were going to be able to get it kind of cleared up by the time that this game came around. Couldn't happen, so it's been postponed. Thank God they're not canceling it. And I hope they don't cancel this because this is a game I want to see twice. Both Pac-12 teams.
Yeah, I agree. Find basketball on TV Saturday. Saturday's got a pretty good slate. Just talk about a few of those games. West Virginia, 11-1 at 17 Texas. Great game. Memphis at Wichita State. That'll be on CBS. That's a great game just because Memphis, mm-hmm. even though they're about to lose to freaking Tulane. Mm-hmm. Wichita State needs that one. Then you have Creighton at Marquette. Another solid game. Here are the big ones, though. 1 Baylor at 8 Iowa State. They're going to Hilton.
Oh,
we will see if Hilton Magic is real in
Lames,
this game.
Lames or Hilton? We're gonna Lames, see. Lames or Hilton Magic. We'll see what we get.
That's going to be a fun game to watch. That's on ESPNU. And at the same time, 22 Nova is going on the road to Seton Hall. Nova is, I think, just going to rule.
Yeah. I hope so.
So there are some good games on Saturday, thankfully, that didn't get canceled. But again,
you never know because we're still 3 days away from that. So what sucks about this is that a lot of times the games are getting canceled / postponed 3 or 4 hours before the game, which sucks as a fan if you're going to the game.
Oh, yeah.
If you spend 100 plus on the tickets, let's say, and the game gets postponed 3 hours before the game, you have no backup plan. Obviously, you get credit to the tickets in the next game, but it could be postponed on a day when you can't go, which is just terrible. So I hope that the ticket offices of all these colleges are kind of refunding / giving the option to be able to get the money back.
On this will be New Year's Day. Just last few games to note, San Francisco does go on the road to take on St. Mary's on that day. So
yeah, we'll see. I think they'll win
good
that
basketball.
Game.
Kansas State at Oklahoma, two really like they have good records. Oklahoma's a sneaky good team, by the way. Just rattle them off. Virginia at Syracuse. I mean, Syracuse needs it, and so does Virginia. So that's why it'll be interesting basketball because that's a game that both teams really have to win at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Boise State going on the road to Wyoming. Wyoming's 11-2, Boise State 10-4. That Mountain West is still tough. But, I mean, other than that, Sunday, not too much. It's kind of a typical Sunday. If you really want to, Bonnie's and Dayton are on. But other than that,
nothing
not too
else,
much.
Really.
Although I will say, I love Michigan State, but we'll put them on upset alert on Sunday. Northwestern has them at home.
Watch out for it.
Watch out. Just watch out for it. Boo Boo, he might just go for 30 freaking points. You never know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. Davidson VCU is also on Sunday. So, other than that, those are pretty much the games that we had to look forward to. Oh, Illinois is at Minnesota on Sunday, too. But other than that,
some Big Ten games getting into it. Yeah.
Just getting into conference play on all these conferences here. Mm-hmm. So, conference play is always good basketball. So, flip on your TV this weekend. There will be college basketball on, despite all the unfortunate postponements. There still are good teams playing. So,
Yeah, I think that pretty much does it. So we promise to be better. We're going to get more episodes out at a more frequent rate come the new year, come the post-New Year. So we'll start cranking out some more. New Year's resolution.
Special segment
coming forward. New Year's resolution. But until next time, this is Made in March.